the armorer. The nearer to safety, the steeper the slope, the greater the effort.
Leave me. Let me die again.
They ignored him. Nobody dared to pause to look back, but they could all feel the heat of the fire and catch the smell of the burning creosote bushes. The roar of the flames, fanned by the wind, was deafening. Ryan could feel even his own enormous strength beginning to falter and fade. Now he was helping both Rick and Christy, who was sobbing with the heart-bursting effort of staying alive. Blinded by smoke, Ryan didn't even realize it when they reached safety. Christy was dragging at his arm to make him stop. He blinked his eye open and saw that they stood a good 50 paces clear on the bare rock and out of danger from the onrushing fire. Rick rocked on his knees. A little to their right, JB was bent over, hands on hips, fighting for breath, his spectacles hanging over one ear. Jack supported Doc, who was beyond the edge of physical tiredness. His face was drained and blank and blackened with soot.
Made it.
Ryan was beginning to nod in agreement when the realization struck him. They hadn't made it. Not all of them. Lori was still...
Lori!
The tall blonde girl was silhouetted against the towering wall of yellow-orange fire as it swept toward her, barely 10 paces behind. She was less than 50 yards away from Ryan and the others, 50 yards from safety. As she raced forward, the heel of one of her boots twisted. Fatigue had robbed her of balance, and she slithered sideways, falling awkwardly. She struggled to get up for a moment, then slumped to the ground.
Oh, no.
The fire seemed to hang over the girl for a moment, in hungry anticipation. Then it plunged down and overwhelmed her. Lori Quint vanished in the torrent of flames.
No!
And Doc Tanner began to weep.
Gotta be going somewhere better, lover.
The door of the gateway was closed, and the discs in floor and ceiling were beginning to glow. In only a handful of seconds, the six friends would be making another jump into the unknown. Ryan gazed around the glass-walled chamber. Doc sat quietly, knees drawn up under his chin, staring blankly ahead. JB was at his side, his glasses folded neatly and safely tucked away. Jack's head was in his hands. Rick Ginsburg lay fast asleep, curled into a fetal position. And Lori was dead.
Somewhere better, lover? Couldn't be much worse, could it?
Deathlands Ice and Fire is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2006, The Cutting Corporation. Performed by Richard Rowan with Terrence Aselford, Colleen Delaney, Nanette Savard, Kate Torrey, David Coyne, Michael Replogle, and Casey Jones. Additional red shirts by The Dead Giveaways. Directed by Rick Rowan. Produced by Rick Rowan and Dwayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Vocal editing by Matt Webb and Christian Parent. Graphic audio sound design by Brian Patton, Dan Smith, and Christian Parent. The Deathlands theme was composed by Mark Ashby. Additional original music by Brian Patton, Matt Webb, Nathaniel Perry, and Dan Smith. Script adapted for graphic audio by Bill Campbell. If you enjoyed Deathlands, be sure to look for James Axler's Outlanders. Keep listening for exciting previews of other graphic audio titles.
The following previews are of Graphic Audio Productions, rated for mature audiences due to scenes of intense violence and sexual situations.
Deathlands Number 9, Red Equinox. The companions have lost one of their own.
No!
But now they have a new friend with knowledge of the pre-dark tech of the gateways.
What's your name, friend?
Rick. Rick Ginsburg. I was frozen so the doctors in the future might be able to cure me. But it looks like there isn't much of a future left here anymore.
But the Deathlands won't be the destination this time.
No, this can't be right. According to my calculations, We're smack dab in the middle of Russia. Somewhere near where Moscow used to be.
We in some deep shit now, Ryan.
And Ryan must now confront the Russian officer who allowed him to escape from the wastes of Alaska, Major Commissar Grigory Zimyanin.
Major Commissar, we have the information you wanted. Our scouts reported seeing a mean-looking man with only one eye, a tall, attractive woman with very red hair, and an old man with a walking stick.
Are your people sure about these three strangers?
There is no doubt.
So, they are here. Somehow the Americans and the one called Ryan Cotter have returned. And this time, I will be ready for them.
Deathlands number 9, Red Equinox. 7 unabridged hours in graphic audio. The movie in your mind.
Deathlands number 9, Red Equinox, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting March 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
When an alien substance breaches Earth's atmosphere over four former Soviet republics, it triggers a scientific race between the United States and Russia that could culminate in unimaginable weapons of mass destruction. One man is capable of harnessing the energy of that substance from the far reaches of the galaxy. The Russians had him. Our shadow governments got him. Islamic extremists want what he's created. And all he wants is a week of gambling.
Viva Las Vegas!
But for Hal Brignola and the men and women of Stony Man Farm, this will be no vacation.
This can't be happening.
What? What is it?
All four missiles are recalibrating themselves to strike civilian targets.
I'm here to help you, Mr. Decker. But only if you wish to help yourself. What happened to your ranch was the result of a meteor shower.
That wasn't no rocks falling from the sky that leveled my ranch and killed my wife. Those were explosions. And I'm walking out of here and going straight to the county sheriff.
Bad choice, Mr. Decker.
No! No!
Come on, Paul. We gotta catch up to that van.
Iron Man, am I seeing things?
That van just sprouted airplane wings.
Holy shit! It's airborne!
Paul, stop the car! Stop the car now!
Carter, this is Apache. You've got hostiles approaching. American Tiger Stripes, about 20 feet below you. Shall we take them out?
Hell no. We're taking out those bastards ourselves.
When it comes to action and intrigue, nothing comes close to Stony Man number 80, Doomsday Conquest.
Stony Man number 80, Doomsday Conquest, will be in travel centers and truck stops throughout North America starting March 2006. Or call 1-800-670-5220 to reserve or download your advance copy. For your convenience, this information is also printed on the cover of this book.
The U.S.-Canadian border.
I need to see your passport, sir. Also, your driver's license and the vehicle's registration.
Of course.
No luggage, sir?
Just this.